There's a bulletin board in the back hallway that says, Godfidence. Knowing I can't, but God can. Confidence is one of those things that needs balance. Overconfidence is often seen and viewed, if not truly, obnoxious or overbearing. Yet a lack of confidence often makes us our own worst enemy. And it is the reason why we give up on things too soon. Confidence centered on God, God-confident, or God-confidence, is empowering. In fact, there are three passages of Scripture in the New Testament, which Paul writes, that speak about this God-confident view of how we work in this world, and especially in our community, that should motivate us when we look back at what has taken place and be encouraged in the present and empowered moving forward. And I want to share these three verses with you, and I want you to consider the confidence that we need to have as we go out and attempt to share the gospel. The first passage I share with you is Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. There Paul said, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul had high hopes. Hopes being a biblical term for confident expectations. Paul had high, confident expectations for unity, faithfulness, and progress in the faith of the brethren in Philippi. His confidence was based upon two sound facts. One, that God works in us who believe, Christians, and that God sees things through to a good end. God does indeed work in us. The most beloved of Old Testament narratives demonstrate to us that God is at work in His people, but really in all people, to bring about His will. And the New Testament then reveals to us how God is working in us to now accomplish His will. His spoken and written word is living and active in exposing the very thoughts and desires of the heart of each reader. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. In our tribulations, God works to bring about perseverance, proven character, and hope. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Everyday events of life, God is using them as if they are trials, testing our faith, which ultimately produces endurance. James 1, verses 2 and 3. But God also works through people. God comforts people through the use of people. He is comforted. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 6. We are helped in our weaknesses. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and then down in verses 26 through 28. Through the indwelling of His Spirit, which was received at baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 8. So God is at work through various means to accomplish His will in our lives. God's work is most impressive when we see that He sees things through to a good end. God carries things out to completion. This past Friday, we made the final delivery to an ASP house. The ASP houses that we were committed to furnishing, that work has come to completion. That phase of the work is now complete, yet there are some additional 10 or so files, non-ASP related, that still await our attention. And so God will see us through those as well, and eventually we will get to the last house, which we will take belongings into to supply them with a means of getting back on their feet. But we can see how God has worked in the past. We can see all that God has done over the last 2 years, and we can be very confident that God is going to sustain us. He sustains us to the completion of each and every phase of the work that He has. And though we may not know what's in store for us next, He will continue to work in us beyond the last file that is to be processed. We have confidence in this because of the lessons taught in the Scriptures. Paul gave God credit for every good thing that was accomplished regarding the church in Philippi. He was also confident that God would continue the work in the lives of Christians, fulfilling His purpose in them until the second coming of Jesus. Paul just informed us that God's working in us. And God is working in us to accomplish His will and to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus, the day of the Lord's return. So we can look back at God's work in the Scriptures and have confidence that He sees things through to a good end. And by this, we should be motivated to work with Him. Paul gives two reasons for his confidence that God would finish the good work that was started in the brethren at Philippi. First, it was about love. The depth of God's love for the believers, coupled with Paul's love, for the brethren. The love God had for them caused God to work in their lives. But Paul's love for the brethren caused him to do all that he could to help them understand what God was doing in their lives. The second thing that gave Paul confidence regarding God finishing this good work was the brethren's participation with Paul and others in the preaching of God's Word, Philippians 1, verses 6 and 7. The Christians in Philippi were the kind of people in whom God could work. They submitted themselves to God, and they were willing to allow God to work in them and through them. I have confidence that the elders here will lead us in the direction that is right. I have confidence that Jeff will continue to do all that he can to educate, train, and equip us for every good work. I also have great confidence that those who have been participating in the sharing of God's Word in this community will continue to do so in the coming year. In this, God will continue to work. Therefore, we need to have confidence in God. Have confidence in God that He will continue to see His will done in this community, both in our lives and in the lives of those we come in contact with. But when we have understood God is helping us, we will work with confidence. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13, Paul wrote, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure." God energizes His people by providing them with the desire and the ability to work for Him. The New Revised Standard Version translates Philippians 2 verse 13 this way, "For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." The CEV, or the Common English Version, says God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey Him. God gives us all that we need to be successful in what He has called us to do. In fact, the word translated "is at work" has been employed to talk about God's direct activity in the human realm. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 2, and Mark chapter 6, verse 14, we see that it was God who was at work in Jesus Christ, conducting the miraculous powers that Herod and others acknowledged. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 6, we are informed that the same God who works all things in all persons carries out a variety of effects. And the Bible reveals 5 verses later that it's the Holy Spirit who distributes the gifts to each individual just as He wills. The result is God worked in Peter to reach the Jews and in Paul to reach the Gentiles, Galatians 2, verse 8. He also works all things after the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1, verse 11 and verse 20. Therefore, it is to His glory, His honor, that He brought both Jews and Gentiles together in the church in Christ Jesus according to the power that works within us, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Paul emphasizes the greatness and the might of Christ's power at work in him, which was manifested in the labor, the sharing of the gospel, the ministry which he was a part of. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. What we are to take from this is that the same God who is at work in the people of the Old Testament and New is at work in us today. God wills us to work through the reading of Scripture, through a timely sermon, through the sharing of a bulletin board, the stirring up of love and good works by a Christian friend or by the words of a Christian hymn. God is the source and the giver of the will and power to achieve His purpose. He simply asks us to come on board with Him, to be a fellow worker, if you will. Thus, we are part of His great workmanship. God is pleased when people turn from their sins, Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. And when we turn from our sins to God, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, Ephesians 2 verse 10. It pleases God, therefore, for us to serve Him and to do so willingly. Indeed, He takes pleasure in His people, Psalm 149 and verse 4. God has done what mankind cannot do in matters of salvation, but human beings must do something. God has very quietly added 9 souls to our count just since September. Wesley Daniel, Clyde Buchanan, Jamie Glasgow, Lisa Fortner, Eric Meredith, Eddard Tolan, Tim Hurt, Dylan Daniel, Robert Fellhauer, known better as RJ to most of us. 9. You take that with the 12 or so that we had from last year, and God has added 20 souls to this congregation. But we fail to realize what God has done until we stop to think about it. You see, when we do God's will, God will provide the desire and the ability to accomplish what He wants done, whether that's spiritual growth in us as believers or it be numerical growth of adding more souls to the saved. Upon having confidence in God and working confidently for Him, He works with us by providing the desire and the power for us to obey according to His good pleasure. God wants us to be confident in what we are able to accomplish, what we are able to do, and what will be the result of it, souls being saved. He wants us to be confident, though, not in ourselves, but in Him. He is able. And as long as He is able, success will come. Oftentimes, it comes quietly, unexpectedly, until we look back upon the great success over the last year, over the last 2 years, over the last many years. It's all God's success. We get to be a part of it. But Paul's intent in preaching the gospel is shared in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning there in verses 7 through 10, he shared that his intent in sharing the gospel included stimulating their faith and courage while also giving them instruction. His objective was to help them live lives worthy of God, who had called them to share in the splendor of His kingdom. Verses 11 and 12. Then Paul wrote these words, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. The word of God is powerful influence in the lives of those who believe. The word of God powerfully transforms the life of the believer who reads it and acts upon it. We do not know what God has in store for us in the days ahead regarding work, but we believe confidently that the Word of God will perform its work in those who believe. If you believe you're empowered to do it, you can accomplish it. If you believe that God has given you a task to fulfill, you can complete it. He'll see it through to completion. Paul was thankful, therefore, that the members of the church in Thessalonica responded the way that they did when they received and accepted the Word of God. The brethren received the teachings of Paul as being the very words of God. They heard the message delivered through Paul and accepted it as being God's message specifically for them. The way the Word of God performed or worked in the believers was confirmation that this message was indeed from God. The same is true for you and I. Receiving the Word of God brings about God's work in the life of the believer or the disciple. For the Word of God powerfully penetrates into the inner parts of a person, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It is the Word of the cross that is the power of God to those who are being saved. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. James 1, verse 21, speaks of the word that is implanted as if it is a seed, and when it is accepted and acted upon in humility, James says it is able to save souls. You see, the gospel brings about divine work in the lives of the doers of the word and not merely hearers, as James would conclude in James 1, verses 22 through 24. The word of God must be ingested for it to perform its work in a believer. By the hearing of the word of Christ, faith comes about. Romans 10, verse 17. All effective preaching and teaching of the Bible is accomplished by God Himself, yet the messenger is a vessel used by the Holy Spirit as a necessary part of the process. Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. How will they hear without a preacher? And how will the preacher go unless he be sent? All believers who receive the Word of God and accept it as His message, a message for them to fulfill, will have the confidence to persevere, keep on believing through the sufferings and the persecution that comes with sharing the gospel. The establishment then of faith among the brethren in Thessalonica was based upon their initial acceptance of the message. But facing persecutions, they continued to believe confidently as the Word of God was working in them. Sooner or later, we will face some suffering and some persecution. We need to be storing up the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds so that we can weather those storms and have our confidence in God. Psalm 118 and verse 8 reads, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." It's better to take our refuge, find safety in the Lord, than it is to trust in ourselves. That causes us to ask a few questions from the text we've shared tonight. Are we the kind of people in whom God can work? God is working in us, and God's work in us will be successful unless we hinder it. God's work accomplished through believers is assured of by His good pleasure until the day of Christ's return. In other words, God's going to keep on working, and He's going to keep on working in us even when we resist Him. But when we align ourselves with Him and work alongside of Him, He will do great things through us. But are we the kind of people in whom God can work? And do we have more confidence in ourselves than in Him? Believers who listen to the Word of God and obey it will be a part of sharing the gospel. And they will have the desire and they will have the power to achieve God's will given to them by God Himself. What we need to understand is that God is not looking for perfect people in whom to work. No, rather, God is looking for people who will allow Him to work in them. And through that, He will accomplish His will. So again, are we the kind of people in whom God can work? And do we have more confidence in ourselves than we do in God and His ability to change us, to make us what we ought to be, and to give us the tools needed to be successful in the work He's given us? But a third question we need to consider is, do we believe God's Word, that God's Word will transform us into that vessel that is for honor, sanctified, useful to the Master, prepared for every good work? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. Did you hear what Paul told Timothy? God wants you to be a vessel that brings Him honor, a vessel that is sanctified, set apart, specifically used for His good will and pleasure. And in that, you're a useful servant, you're a useful tool to your Master. One that is prepared for every good work. It should not be in our vocabulary to say, I can't do that. I can't. I couldn't do any of it, really. But He can. And He will make me able. Submitting our lives to the will of God gives us great confidence, not in ourselves, but in God. God wants people who will have confidence in Him and will work in confidence or with confidence because they believe confidently in Him and His Word rather than in themselves. Paul put it another way in Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16. He instructed us to be the light of the world by holding to the Word of life. It gives us all we need to be successful in any work we endeavor to do for our God. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews established a tie between our faith and our confidence in God when he wrote, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, referring to God, for in the very next phrase, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Do you have confidence that God is a rewarder of those who seek Him? Do you have confidence that those who come to seek after God will not only find Him, but will find salvation? What is your level of confidence? A person who puts their confidence in God to receive the reward of those who seek Him will rely upon God's plan for saving man and not his own plan. You see, God gave His only begotten Son. And it's in God's Son that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1 verse 14. This is the message of the gospel, the good news of Christ, Romans 1 verse 16, that tells us how man has been invited to benefit from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 19. To be saved, God requires those who come to Him to hear the gospel, believe in the gospel, repent of sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission or for the forgiveness of past sins, at which time the Lord Himself adds the obedient one to the church. Then that new Christian must live faithfully to God, working in the church, in the body of believers belonging to Christ, using the gift or gifts given by God to serve one another, to be restored to salvation. Prayer must be offered on behalf of the person who confesses sins, James said in chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Or when the person repents of wickedness, Acts chapter 8, verse 22. If you've wandered away, it's time to come home. It's time to be restored. It's time to confess those sins and let God take care of them while you get to work. If you are not yet a baptized believer, one who is following after Christ and doing His will, it's time to give your life to Christ. It's time to give your life to Him and then get to work with all the confidence that God supplies. Be confident. Be Godfident, knowing that me and you can't provide our own salvation, but God can, and He is working in us to that very end. What great confidence we can have in God, based on all that we've experienced and all that has been done. We could clearly say and point to several cases of which spiritual growth has taken place and we have matured as individual believers and as a congregation, as the body of Christ. We could say the same concerning numerical growth as well. 20 in less than 2 years' time. 20. We've got a lot more work to do. We need to face it. God confident. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, you need your sins to be forgiven, to be washed away, so that you can be in the right relationship with God. The invitation's for you. If you need to be restored, having your sins forgiven, having those things that have come between you and your service and following after God, the invitation again is extended to you. It's His invitation. I'm simply a mouthpiece on His behalf. So respond to Him as together we stand and as we sing.